You can be seated. Hang on to the words of that worship song because I believe that they will be illustrated as we move forward now. And we are continuing today our series leading up to Resurrection Sunday and including Resurrection Sunday, really, on people of the Passion. And last Sunday, Brother Brian helped us to see the governor, Pilate, and his role in the Passion story of our Lord. But today, we're going to be studying from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, if you would turn there. And we're going to be talking about Barabbas and the role that he plays in the Passion story of our Lord. Next Sunday, Pastor Adrian will be bringing the story of the Apostle Peter and the role he played in the Passion story. And then, Lord willing, as we arrive at Easter, we hope to see from the perspective of Mary Magdalene, the first one that Jesus appeared to after His resurrection. So we hope you can join us moving forward, and we are so glad that you have joined us today. Again, if you would look at Mark 15, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 15, and I'll be reading from God's Word translation of the Holy Bible. At every Passover festival, Pilate would free one prisoner whom the people asked for. There was a man named Barabbas in prison. He was with some rebels who had committed murder during a riot. The crowd asked Pilate to do for them what he always did. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to free the king of the Jews for you?" Pilate knew that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. The chief priests stirred up the crowd so that Pilate would free Barabbas for them instead. So Pilate again asked them, "Then what should I do with the king of the Jews?" "Crucify him," they shouted back. Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate wanted to satisfy the people, so he freed Barabbas for them, but he had Jesus whipped and handed over to be crucified. Lord, would you now add your blessing of understanding to the words that we have heard? Help us to understand for our own lives what these things mean, even today, especially today. In Jesus' name, and the people said, amen. I owe a great debt to those who have studied the culture of the Bible. And Lord willing, I'll be making, I believe it's my 15th trip in October to the Holy Land. And really, if you want to know what it is for me, it's a continuation of learning about the land of our Lord. And it also puts a desire and appetite within me to continue studying in those same veins when I'm here at home. And so I owe a great debt to people like Paul Wilbur, who was here in concert with us, who is himself a Messianic rabbi. And also people like, maybe you've heard more popular names like Jonathan Cahn. There are names of people who have studied from the Hebrew point of view, the Jewish point of view, and they're able to give to us a three-dimensional look at especially the life of Christ, but in many other things as well. And so today I borrow from some of those teachings because it's too important not to share. Standing in the shadow of death in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago was this criminal. He is a murderer. He's a revolutionary, a rebel. His name is Barabbas. His sentence is death, and he's really just awaiting his execution. So he's in prison, seemingly hopeless. It's the Passover festival all across Israel, especially Jerusalem. And so from one side of the old city to the other, the priests are very busy. Now, the priests are at the temple, and in the night they have arrested a prisoner of their own. His name is Jesus Messiah. Now, there could be no greater contrast between two prisoners than between the convicted Barabbas and the arrested Jesus. Now, remember that the high priest of Israel, they are responsible for lifting up the sacrifices before Holy God on behalf of their people. They do not realize, however, what's going on, because by holding their prisoner captive, Jesus Messiah, he is the very sacrifice for this present Passover. He is the Lamb of God. They have no idea that when they offer him up before Pilate to be killed, that they are about to perform the priestly function of bringing the sacrifice for the people. Now, in the Hebrew worship custom, there is what's called the, let me spell it for you first, the C-H-A-T-A-A-H, Hata'ah, Hata'ah. The Hata'ah means the sin offering. But the word doesn't only mean the sacrifice for sin. Hata'ah is sin itself. The sacrifice and the sin itself are seen as one from God's vantage point. The Hata'ah. In other words, the sacrifice is called the sin. The sacrifice becomes the sin. It's a mystery of worship that God has ordained, but it's marvelous as well. Now, the truth about the law of the sacrifice is that the one for whom the sacrifice is made, from God's perspective, becomes one with that sacrifice. It can only die in your place for your sin if it is your sin. So the Hata'ah, the sin offering, becomes one with you and your sin, one with me and my sin. What's happening here is a spiritual transfer. The sin of the person is put on the sacrifice. The sacrifice becomes identified with the worshiper. Only then can the sin be dealt with and a holy God be satisfied. So, unless the sacrifice offered for you becomes one with you, the sacrifice is not acceptable and your sin is not atoned for. Now, if you remember in Genesis 22, Abraham offered Isaac, yet just before Isaac was killed, the ram was provided by God and offered because of Abraham's faith, and so the ram became one with Isaac. And when Abraham offered the ram, it was the sin offering of worship. Now, also at the Jewish Passover that happened in Egypt, the eldest son in every household would die when the death angel came through the land, Egyptian and Israeli. But God said, if you'll take a lamb and kill it, and you'll put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of your home, the death angel will pass over your home. Because the lamb was seen as one and the same as the sacrifice. And so God is satisfied. Now, for holy God to be satisfied, there must be a sin offering that becomes our sin so we can then go free. A transfer of our sin to another sacrifice. Now, back to the Passion Week of Jesus. We have Barabbas. He is a hardened criminal. His death is imminent, it is deserved, and it's about to happen any day now. But they bring Barabbas out, and when they do, his eyes meet for the first time. His eyes meet with the eyes of the one who will become his Hata'ah, his sin offering, his sin. The one on whom his sin will be transferred. The one who would become his sin in the eyes of a holy God. His name is Jesus Messiah. And as a result, Barabbas will be freed from his death penalty. Now, remember, it is the Passover season being recalled. That time in Egypt when the lamb took the place of the sons. And so it's that time of the year when the lamb must die for sin. The lamb must die for the one who has been sentenced to die or the ones who have been sentenced to die. Every year, the high priest would offer up one sacrifice. Every year, only the high priest could make this particular sacrifice. It's called Yom Kippur, the atonement sacrifice. And before this sacrifice could take place, something had to happen. The Bible says that the high priest would take two goats, one in his right hand, one in his left hand, and the goats would be presented before the people. The high priest would then take his hand, stick it in the urn that he was holding, pull out two stones. One stone was placed on one goat and one stone placed on the other goat, the head of each goat. On one stone was written the words, Ladonai, Hebrew for to the Lord, Ladonai. This is the one that would become the sacrifice. On the other stone was written in Hebrew, Lazazel, the scapegoat. The second goat would escape death and go free. Now, it's 2,000 years ago. We have the high priest. They are standing before Pilate, the priest, the high priest, all the priests. They are standing before Pilate. They don't have a clue what's going on. There are two prisoners present, Barabbas and Christ. Not two goats, but two men. The priests are there. The people are there. It's Passover. And the decision will be made which man will be sacrificed unto the Lord for the sin and which man will escape and go free. In the ancient writings of the rabbis, it is ordained that the two goats are to be alike, that they share in identity. It must be hard to tell them apart. They must be, in essence, identical. So, we see standing on this day one prisoner, Jesus Messiah, and one prisoner, Barabbas. Could they be alike? These two men, that couldn't be more different. But could they be essentially identical in some way? Could they share an identity? Did they look alike? Well, we don't know. Maybe. But the details are deeper. You see, we think, how could two people be more unlike? Jesus, the Holy Son of God, and Barabbas, the criminal, the murderer. Back to the details. The alikeness, the identity that made Barabbas and Jesus the same. Barabbas is not the actual name of the criminal, the prisoner. You see, Barabbas is Greek. His name actually in Hebrew is Bar Abba. It means the son of the father. In Greek, Barabbas. In Hebrew, Bar Abba, son of the father. So we have Barabbas, Bar Abba, the son of the father, and we have Jesus, Messiah, the son of the father. Here's the mystery. They are the same in name. They are, in fact, identical in name. One son of the Father will become the sin sacrifice for the other son of the Father. In other words, the one child of God will take the place of the other child of God. Now, always at Passover, the sons of the Father are saved. We know that from the first Passover, the sons of the Father were saved by the Lamb. We know that by Abraham and Isaac. The son of the father Isaac was saved by the Lamb. And here we see the only begotten Son of God ready to die for all the other sons of the Father. Sons and daughters can escape death because of the Hata'ah. Jesus is the Hata'ah. He is the sin offering. The lamb at this Passover is Jesus, Messiah. Now, if you study footnotes in Bibles and you study commentaries and original scripts, you will find often this footnote. You will find that the true exact name of Barabbas, in fact, was Jesus Barabbas. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. His name is Jesus Barabbas. Now, the reason we don't find Jesus Barabbas in all of our updated biblical manuscripts is because the early church fathers said, no way! We cannot have the identical name of our Savior Jesus attributed to this murderer Barabbas. So they eliminated Jesus from the text and just called him Barabbas. Can you imagine this, that Barabbas grew up with the name Jesus? All of his life he bore the same name, Jesus. Jesus, Bar Abba, son of the Father. And he would be the first one that Jesus takes the place of. His identical. They went through life. Jesus Barabbas, Bar Abba, son of the Father. Jesus Messiah, a son of the Father. Yeshua is the actual name in Hebrew. Yeshua, son of the Father, Yeshua. Identical in name. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Who in the Passion Week story of Jesus is Barabbas? Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? We had a death sentence over our head. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. We were in bondage. We were born, though, to be sons and daughters of Father God. And in order for that to happen, there had to be a hatah. There had to be a sin sacrifice. There had to be one who would become like us, so that we could become like him. And before Jesus Messiah could die for us, he had to become one with our sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just the substitute for our sin, he became our sin. Jesus became one of us. He was born as a baby. He grew up like we did. He experienced joy and sorrow like we do. He felt suffering and rejection and was even tempted like we are. Why? He had to become our identical. He had to be the one on which the stone would be placed to the Lord, sacrificed to the Lord, so the stone could be placed on our head, scapegoat, so we could go free. He became sin who knew no sin, so we could become his righteousness, Jesus Messiah. He became your hatah. Not just for Barabbas, but for you and for me, because Barabbas is us. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the world in general, but he also died specifically for you and for me and for Barabbas. He took the name of Barabbas. He took your name. He took my name. And he became our hatah. He became one with our sin. And here's the mystery. Not only does our sin transfer to him, but his holiness transfers to us. The great exchange. Because the sacrifice became one with us, the invitation now stands for us to become one with the sacrifice. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. You see the transfer? Jesus became one with the Bar Abba, the Barabbas, the son of the Father, the sons and daughters of the Father, so that we could become one with Barabba, the Holy Son of the Father. And so because Jesus became like us, the offer for us is to accept or reject what he has accomplished. for us on the cross. Now, we don't know if the original Barabbas, the original Jesus Barabbas, realized what was going on, or if he chose Jesus as his Messiah, his Baraba. But we are Barabbas. And we can choose if we realize what he's done. We are all Barabbas. And because Jesus died our brutal death, we can now live his holy life. You see, this story is an illustration of Romans 5 and verse 8. We see Jesus Barabbas and Jesus Messiah, and we hear Romans 5, 8. Christ died for us while we were still sinners, rebels, shaking our fist in his face. This demonstrates God's love for us. Listen, friends, if you have ever doubted that God loves you, this should be the day once and for all you realize the answer will always be yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but to save us through his Son. He sent his Son to be our Hata'ah. Do you know of a love greater than that? I ask God to forgive me for all the times I have entertained the doubt or the temptation, does he love me? God has always loved me. He will always love me. God loves Barabbas. In this whole story, we see Jesus loving Barabbas. At the Passover trial, people said, "Let Barabbas go free. Give us Barabbas." Pilate said, "Behold the man." He was really saying, "Behold the lamb." He was really saying, "Behold the men." He was really saying, "Behold the goats." And he asked, "Who should I release?" And the people cried out, "Give us Barabbas." And you can count on this, my friends, that while the crowd cried, "Give us Barabbas," Jesus was whispering, "Give them Barabbas. Give them Barabbas. I love Barabbas. I want to die for Barabbas." Hata'ah. Our sin offering. Jesus is loving Barabbas. And in so doing, he's loving you. And he's loving me. There is a recitation written by Pastor Judah Smith. I was watching it online, and about halfway through it, all I could see and hear was my friend Cain Sampson bringing it to life here for us. And so I've asked Brother Cain to come and to give us some loving Barabbas. And I love this particular slide that I found online. It's a church Easter pageant, no doubt. Someone knew what was going on. Whoever casted the characters for this particular pageant knew what was happening. You have Pilate standing, and you have two identicals. You can't tell which one is Jesus until you study it for a while. I think they were saying, Jesus became our identical so we could become his. Wow. That's an amazing thought. Jesus became our identical. Now, during this recitation, or even now, if anyone wants to come kneel at these altars and just come out of reverence or come for salvation or come to say, "God, I'm so sorry I ever doubted you ever loved me," whatever you like to say, there's going to be the recitation, and then without any interruption, there's going to be a song. And I'm asking you today to come on your own volition. I felt like in the first service, in some ways, God was grieved. I'm not putting that on the first service people. But the whole first service, I felt like there was a dam that was about to break, and it never did. It may not be the same in this service. It could be that I didn't make it clear, you know, who Jesus is. But I want to say today, if the Lord speaks to you, let's not grieve him today. let's remember who he is. He is the God who loves even Barabbas, especially Barabbas. Brother Cain.
Two things I want y'all to do this morning. I want y'all to not pay attention to me because I rushed out the house and forgot my belt, and you might see me pulling my pants up. I didn't say that the first service, but the second thing is I want y'all to really listen to these words. We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand-to-hand. And then there's this one character who seems to interrupt the narrative. His name is Barabbas. And we don't even know much about him except the fact that he's a rebel. He's a leader of an insurrection. Why he's mentioned so many times, I'm not so sure. It's like, this is supposed to be about Jesus. This is supposed to be about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage who now presents Jesus, Son of the living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This is going too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner. He should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug, and he's a crook. He deserves the chains. He deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done besides heal, restore, open the blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? Give us Barabbas. The people say, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers, they come up and they put their key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and the shackles, and he walks down the platform and he's welcomed by all of his thug friends, and he's like, yeah, the people love me. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is that my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything, for you have set me free. No, I don't see none of that in Barabbas. And God knew it. Jesus stood there silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let them have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of a heavenly Father. When I look at this story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me and say, I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he'll probably never acknowledge the free gift? Yeah. But I love him. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas. Even the one that he knew that would walk away from Jesus and never acknowledge his free gift and come back. He loved him. And the nerve and all the audacity of us believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That is the exact opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held by the powers of this temptation? This sin, do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it. No, you won't. You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it. You will never overcome it. You will just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion, it will not save your marriage, and it will not save your kids. There's only one, and that's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on a platform with Pilate and said, yes, let them have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I'm like, no, I don't deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequences. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No. God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. This is all I got. This is all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend that some people are better than others, and that's why they are more blessed. So we could come to the honest conclusion that this is God and God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God that has a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sins, son. Okay, I'll give him my sins. I stand here in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped as I stand a free man. And all the attention is turned now. Where did we get off thinking that we were going to set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being Jesus. It's his blood is sufficient for your salvation. His blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge, every sin, and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Pastor Kerry said during this time, if you want to give your sin, to lay your sin on Jesus that he so desperately wants to take from you, you can come to these altars and lay your sin on Jesus.
He is just for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
We've still got some time this morning. If you have ever been tempted to doubt that God is good, I think we all have. But maybe you're in a season like that now where the enemy wants you to doubt God is good. Maybe you're in a season when the enemy wants you to doubt that God loves you. If he can convince you of that lie that God doesn't, it will be your destruction ultimately. And so this morning, just because we can, if there are maybe couples here or singles or families who maybe you've just been in a spiritual battle, you've just been in, the enemy is just trying to get you to doubt the goodness of God, doubt the love of God. Maybe some will come separately, maybe some will come together. Maybe a husband will look to his wife and say, do you want to go up there and just kneel so we can just say before God and the world, we believe God is good. We're not going to fall victim to this temptation. We believe God loves us. We're not going to let the enemy convince us otherwise. Jesus is loving Barabbas. What kind of love is that? You know, sadly, many people through the ages have taken this story that I've shared today, where the people were given the choice to have Barabbas freed or Jesus freed. Many people have taken this text to blame the Jews for the death of Jesus. That's just sick. We were the reason. All of us. And it was a scandalous thing underway. The high priest didn't even know what was happening. They were offering up the sacrifice for all time. I wonder how many of them came to their senses after Jesus was resurrected. I wonder when Peter preached on the steps of Solomon's colonnade on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. I wonder how many said, we get it now. God, we played right into his hands. God was orchestrating the sacrifice so that we would have a choice. We could choose life instead of death. So, I don't know, I want to pause. I don't have any expectations. But we're going to sing the chorus again. I hope we can sing that part that gets real inflated, that real big piece of the chorus. And let's let God know today, we know he loves us. He's proven that once and for all when he gave his son as our identical so that we might become his identical.
Yeah.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You be seated for a few moments. The benediction. A few announcements. God is so good. God is love. And He has loved us with an everlasting love. Our Hearts Aflame discipleship journey to the Holy Land will happen in October of this year. I think it's our 15th trip. And if today's teaching touched your heart, that's much akin to what we spend 6 or 7 days doing in Israel. Steve Thigpen, I believe, is traveling today. But you can go to our website, heartsaflame.org. Heartsaflame.org, and you can contact Steve if you have questions or desires about going. We are going to receive a love offering today. It's just on our calendar today. I guess that Jesus just wants to say He loves Calcutta. We have a pastor we partner with there. For all practical purposes, we have adopted him. And right there in the slums of Calcutta, in the shadow of Mother Teresa's orphanage, this young pastor, Pastor AJ, is building the Church of the Nazarene, literally. And if you would like to be a part of that partnership today, you can make checks to HFCN, or you can go to hfcngive.org.com either, and you can give to Calcutta for the partnership. And so I will have the ushers just to go ahead and wait on us for this. There's no obligation, only opportunity to give. Today, our college connection, actually at 12:05 in just a few minutes, they're going to be meeting for their spring college lunch upstairs behind the elevator, H202. So if you're a college student, save your money and have free lunch today. And we'd love to have you come and be a part and meet Pastor Billy and Hillary and those who are giving leadership to our college and young adult group. So you're welcome today to stay for the spring college lunch. If you need prayer today, want prayer, desire prayer, every Sunday our altar is extended out to the hallway just across from the cafe, the well. And folk are there with real skin on who are willing to join with you in prayer. And so please remember that today especially, but every Sunday that's happening whether we mention it or not. First-time friends, that's what we call you if you're here for the first time. And today, back here underneath the Holiness Unto the Lord sign, you'll find a little brochure there. And I see our people moving into place. It's a new brochure we put together on details about the life of the church. In case you're wondering and have some questions, it may help to answer that. Celebrate Recovery started its second year two Monday nights ago. And I want you to celebrate with me that on the first night of the reboot, we had 12 newcomers. Could you just applaud? And so we invite you to come tomorrow at 6 for the meal. I'll be here. And 6:30, we're having worship, the Celebrate Recovery style. And if you haven't been, you're welcome. If you've been and kind of quit coming, maybe you should come again. We just want you to know every Monday night, Celebrate Recovery will be happening. So please don't forget that opportunity. And if you would stand now for the benediction, I would like to share a blessing. I hope you'll receive it today. We're so grateful that you have come today. Those who have joined us on Facebook Live, we're glad that you're with us online, and we hope you can be with us in person maybe next time. Unless it's a really long drive, stay where you are. But we're so glad that we have people connecting with us for the good news expression. That's what it's all about, to get the good news, the gospel. And I love how that recitation ended that Brother King gave us. Jesus is enough. I just want you to know He is enough. And now, may the pursuit of the presence of Jesus be yours. May you always know that goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. And may you live in His presence. And may His presence live in you forever and today. Go in peace. God bless you.